praise God again. Woo! Yes, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Lord. Woo. Did you hear the part that she said? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. It doesn't matter your age, your bank account. It doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Chinese, whether you're Mexican or what. It doesn't matter to Jesus. It doesn't matter to Jesus, because he gives each and every one of us the same thing every day. Every morning we wake up, if you were to cut your hand, you would see the same blood that pastor has. He gives us the same opportunities every day, regardless of where we came from. And you know, this month we're talking about servants and the heart of the servants. And I studied and I wrote and everything. But it's like, my heart is to serve. I love to serve. I don't care what I'm asked to do. As long as it's godly, I will serve. I remember when we were downtown, if you served on a committee or any team, you had to go and help clean. I think it was once a quarter. Well, mine I got because I felt fine with it, and I could go down in the basement and I could clean the bathrooms. And down there was two or three of us, but you know what we were doing? We were serving God. We were serving our pastors. We were serving our spiritual family, our Christian family. And we were singing, and every time, even though most of you know I can't sing, okay? But I was singing, and I felt each time I sung, there was power that would come into the room, into the atmosphere. I was reading on Facebook. Facebook can be good. But they were talking about praising God and singing into the spirit room, how much power will come. And I'm telling you, I saw power, I saw healing, I saw things coming into existence that most people wouldn't have thought about. So we're talking about servants today. So if you have your flyer, your bulletin, would you please read Mark 10, 43, 45, the hearts of a servant. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for so many. Mark 10, 43, 45. So we see that Jesus, you know, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. When I read that, I was thinking about when he washed the feet of the apostles, of his disciples. Not just that he wants something to be done to him that we serve, but he wanted to serve the people. He walked all around on the land and served people in one way or another. Because there's so many different ways in serving people. You can just work on a job and you can clean up. You can be a cashier in Martin's and you're still serving. Because whatever job you have, you are still serving the Lord. And that's why it's so important that when you are working, you do your best. And you do it with humility and with compassion and with love. Because you are serving the Lord. Because when you ring up somebody's groceries, you're taking care of God's children. So be kind to them. Be nice to them. Because you don't know what they went through to get there. You don't know if they're giving you their last dollar for those groceries. So serve well, because you're just not serving for that dollar, but you're serving for Jesus. I want to go talk a little bit about Paul. And I'm at Romans 1:1. I'm going to start there. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, who was also a servant and has servants according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, which the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And you see it here that when you serve and you serve well, things come to you. Now, we don't serve to get these things, but when we serve God in the right way, things just happen for us. Like, look at Paul. He became an apostle. I wonder when he was born, did his mom and dad even think about him being an apostle? You know, power came according to the scriptures. Paul got this power. He was serving. So different great things come to a person that is serving God in the right way. Amen. You serve with the right heart. You don't just serve and be You serve with the right heart. Amen. And 5 says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the call of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get grace. The Warwicks yesterday, they walked through here with grace. Nothing that they did to earn this, but God just blessed them with grace. A lot of times we go through a lot of hardships, and we don't know how in the world we're going to get through, how we're going to walk through this. Sometimes we ourselves lose a family member, and we don't know how we're going to do and make do with this. We lose our jobs and we just don't know. Our marriages fall apart and we just don't know. But God blesses us with grace. Most of us have been good servants under the Lord, and God gives us grace. God gives us peace. God gives us joy. So when you are serving, I beg of you, I plead with you to please serve in a servant's heart. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I made mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. Oh, those spiritual gifts that God imparts into us. You know, that's how a lot of us are able to be good servants. Because when we are good servants, God imparts these gifts to us. That joy I was talking about. That love, that long suffering. I'm telling you, we are to be good servants. Have the heart of a servant, and we will get these things, not because we asked for them and not because we were expecting, but because we did what we were supposed to do. Paul had been preaching for over 20 years. And he had been through 3 missionary journeys and had founded churches throughout the world. He was a preacher, a gifted evangelist, and an anointed author, writing at least 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Wow. Paul impacted upon Christianity in immeasurable But his measures and missions were based on two simple things. First, he was grateful for his salvation and went wherever God sent him to and what Christ had done for him. And second, his heart's desire was to do the will of him that sent him, and at all costs. Sometimes God sends us places that we don't necessarily want to go. Amen. And we don't understand why God is sending me there. But if you go, and you go where God tells you to go, and you go in the right heart, and you be obedient, you'll find out these answers. I think the sister was singing about getting answers, God telling you things. As you begin to do these things for the Lord, as you begin to serve and have a good heart in serving, you will get more of hearing about God. I'm not saying if you don't serve, you won't ever hear from God. That's not what I'm saying, so don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, when you begin to serve the Lord in the right heart, you will begin to hear him more. Because you know why? There's more for you to do. Amen. The higher up you go in leadership and in serving, the more God is going to give you. And when you take care of that one thing that God gives you, he's going to give you more. But you got to do it in the right frame of mind, in the right heart. I was looking through some scriptures and seeing about servants, you know. I didn't realize there were so many. And, you know, I asked you to go back and just go and look up the word servant and see how many people and times and places and stuff do they talk about servants. So therefore, it tells me that being a servant is very, very important. And I want you to just take a second and to ask yourself and to just listen to your own thinking and your heart and see, am I a servant? And then, do I have the heart of a servant? Just take a moment. I spoke something about salvation at the end of the service. As Pastor always does, she calls for anyone that would like to come up and receive salvation. Anyone that would like to rededicate their life to Jesus. Please do not leave here today without doing that. Because if you want to be a good servant, you want to express how much you believe in Jesus Christ, and that you believe that he died for us, and that he was born for us, and that he came again and walked this earth as a man for us. He died for us. And so we want to do things for him. So today, please do not leave if you are not saved or if you need to rededicate your life. And maybe it's not even that. Maybe you just need to refresh what you've been doing. You think you haven't been doing enough for God. Come up today and let the elders pray for you. But I read like Romans 8:28. I was reading 1 Samuel 24 where I see that David had servants. Titus, a servant of God. In 1 Samuel 2:13, they had priests, servants. In Numbers 11:28, the servant of Moses. I'm telling you, there were a lot of servants. So you know that we can't get very much accomplished without servants. We can't get very much accomplished if we don't have that right heart of a servant. Because you can have servants, but if they don't have the right heart, things are not going to be accomplished the way they're supposed to be. You know, if we have a heart of a servant and come into the kingdom and do things, we're going to see some things that are going to change. And that's what I'm hoping for after today, that we kind of think about having a servant's heart. I want to be kind to someone. I want to bless someone. I think somebody was here recently talking about when you bless people, blessings come to you. Like a servant. You know, if I serve Jen, she's going to do something to serve someone else because it's like a domino effect. You know what I mean? Someone else is going to serve someone else. I pray for you. You're going to pray for someone else. We're going to have that servant's heart. And when you're praying in a servant's heart, things change a little bit faster. It's like a whirlwind. It changes. Yes. And Moses was, this is Black History Week. So a lot of, everybody serves. And a lot of people don't like to hear the word slavery. But it was talking about somewhere I was speaking about you in slavery. You know, in a lot of things that you do. You know, I'm a slave to God because I want to do what he wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right. Amen. You know, I'm going to do it right. I don't want no one to come behind me and have to redo it. And if I don't do it right, I want someone to let me know that I didn't do it right, so I'll do it right the next time. Please don't not tell me I didn't do it right. That's a good servant, too. That's doing with a servant's heart. I can receive when I've done something wrong. That's how the church is going to grow. That's how your family is going to be blessed. So in Exodus 2:1, it talks about Moses being born a slavery. And then being born a slave. And then in Exodus 4, it talks about him leading the people out of Egypt. And so as being Black History Week, I was looking at different people that were Black, that served. And some were enslaved. And one came up was a lady that I heard a lot about when I was in high school and elementary. You know, and when we were children, I thought, oh my, here we go again. But as I've grown up, I'm looking at, wow, we have really come a long way. This woman was a true servant to many. And her name is Harriet Tubman. She wrote the quote, "I was a conductor of an underground railroad for 8 years. And I can say what most conductors can't say. I never ran my train off the track, and I never lost a passenger." That's what she said. And I thought, wow. And I don't know, most people probably didn't think she was a conductor, but yeah, she really, really was. The Underground Railroad was a lifeline for slaves escaping to freedom, and Harriet was undoubtedly one of the most famous conductors. Over 100 years since her passing, which was March the 10th, 1913. Harriet later in life adopted the name Harriet after her mother, Harriet Ross. The surname Tubman came from her first husband, John, who she married in 1844. She was born a slave, raised on Maryland's eastern shore, where the lines between slavery and freedom were on a blur. And guess what? I've forgotten this. Maryland, eastern shore. That really touched my heart because I am from the eastern shore. Virginia, eastern shore, and Maryland, eastern shore is a line. So to think about some people way, way back then was enslaved and some were free. And, you know, when you go in that back door, who was who? Who was slave and who was not slave? That was a little blur to most people. But Harriet knew who she was. She was a slave. Harriet's husband was a free man. Her status, however, remained unchanged until she fled to Pennsylvania, a free state in 1849. Her husband didn't make the journey. Later, he remarried after Harriet's departure. So as Harriet was rescuing people from being slaves to freedom in Pennsylvania, her husband didn't take that journey with her. He remained behind. And Harriet kept on. So for many years, many times in the next decade, Harriet would return to Maryland to free family and non-family. How awesome that must have been for a woman back in those days. Harriet earned the nickname Moses in the Bible, who had led his people to freedom. And as I was reading that, I was thinking and listening that when I watched movies from back in the slavery time, they would sing all the time. So I could just hear her and her group of people just singing and praising God from coming from slavery into freedom, and how much power had to be in the atmosphere for them. You know, she at the front and starting to sing and praise God that everybody got out safely, because remember, Harriet did not lose not one person. Everybody that left those lines and went in the underground with Harriet, they went to Pennsylvania. Thank you, Lord. Not one was lost. Her work was a constant threat to her life and her freedom. Slave owners put a boundary on her life. They want her captured because they were tired of her coming in and pulling out their slaves who worked their fields. Wow, what a woman she was. She wore many hats. She was acquainted to some of the top leaders in the world, including John Brown, who conferred with General Truman about his plan to raid Harper Ferry. She worked during the Civil War. Harriet also worked for the Union Army as a cook, a nurse, and even a spy. So she definitely had many hats. And she definitely had to have a servant's heart for everything that she had to go through. She had one daughter, Gertie, whom she and her second husband, whose name was Nelson Davis, adopted after the Civil War. Harriet suffered a long-term illness of headaches, and she would have seizures, but she would also have vivid dreams that were a result from a traumatic head injury that she had when she was a teenager in the fields trying to help one of the other field hand people. But she had this headaches and these dreams, but it didn't stop her. It pushed her even more. She was more determined. And as she was determined, I feel like God was anointing her and putting more power in her. He was strengthening her to do what she had to do. And he was also giving her dreams and visions on how to guide her people through the Underground Railroad. So she wasn't by herself. The Lord Jesus Christ was with her all the time. He was, of course, on the inside of each one of them, but God was giving her visions. She did not use that head injury as a handicap. So I'm here to tell you today, if you have any kind of handicap, try to push through and do what you can do. You know, you see people on TV that are missing limbs. But look, I saw a child the other day. No, it was on Facebook, who was missing limbs, but she was in the gymnastics. So she used what God gave her to do what she could do. And to me, I saw her as being a servant, because she was showing other people what she could do with her having no limbs. You know what I mean? So she's a servant to me, to other people. So just before Harriet died in 1913, she told friends and family, "I go to prepare a place for you." So there she was again to the very end, preparing places for other people to go. She was buried with military honors in the Fort Hill Cemetery in New York. And when I first read that, I thought, well, how did she get to be in the military cemetery? But then I found out that she was in the Union Army as a cook, a nurse, and a spy. Wow. So she earned the right to be in the military cemetery. And I thought, well done, servant. Amen. Was she? She was a well done servant. I also was reading about some more current people. And there was a lady named Katherine Johnson who just celebrated her 100-year-old birthday. She worked for NASA. She was a human computer who calculated, let me pronounce this right, trajectors. Am I saying this right? T-R-A-J-E-C-T-O-R-I-E-S. I did not want to skip that because I thought that was very important. But for the Apollo space mission by hand. So, you know, today's world, we have all these computers that we can do all that calculation to. But a long time ago, since she's 100 years old, you know, it was probably a while back. They didn't have all the things that they had then. But she was able to do this. And I am proud to know that. And the other thing, there was a lady named Alex Irene. She was the first black female to become a neurosurgeon in the United States. And I was proud of that. And there are so many more. And since most of my family here are white, I want to say many people of all colors have done so many things. But when I always at this time of the month, year, think we've come a long way. And so that's why I wanted to highlight these things to you today. Because Matthew 25:23, I'm getting ready to close, says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I thought about Paul, Moses, Harriet, Alex Irene, and Catherine. And then I don't want to close off so without saying I had an aunt named Ada. And when I see a picture of Harriet, I think about my aunt Ida. She was an old Christian lady. And I say old because she lived to be like 104, I believe. But she would walk to town and get her groceries, and they always brought her back if family wasn't around. She would go to work, and she earned her living by cleaning someone's house and ironing their clothes. But she did it with pride. I remember her saying something about that. "I did it the best I could." And so if their iron didn't work, I remember her bringing a basket of laundry home and ironing it with her iron because she wanted to do the best that she could. Her heart, I knew, was a heart of God, and that she has a great servant's heart. She served in church very much. She lived about two doors from the church, and even when she got to be an old lady, she still walked in pride into the church and served the pastors and the other people within the church. Her heart was good. God blessed her to live many years. And when she died, she was not suffering like you would think at her age. But God takes care of his children in these days. God has always been there to take care of his children. And the thing I want to say before I leave you is that regardless of age and race, because this is Black History Month, and a lot of people don't agree about hearing it and stuff, but I want to tell you, like I said at the beginning, I am a black woman, but you know what? We all are Americans. We are Americans, and we all belong to a church race. It's not a black church. It's not a white church. It's not a Spanish church. It is a church race for Jesus Christ. And you need to remember that. Because when I die, I don't think God is going to say, "Oh, here comes another black one." I really don't. And I want God to say, "Well done, servant." So I'm going to ask Pastor, before we close, if she would pray on each one of us to be a better servant to the Lord. And if you are not on a team at your home church, or brothers and sisters of the river, if you're not on a team and not serving yet, I ask you to please get on a team and serve. Because I'm telling you, we're talking about that 200 coming. That 200 is coming. But we got to be ready. We can't wait until that 200 gets here, because we don't know when that 200 comes, if 300 is right around the corner. We praise God it is, but you know, we want to be ready. So this is a new year, new blessings, things are shifting around. So we want to serve God well. So we want to be in a row to do things right. So I thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand today. And I'm going to do as Pastor Cheryl requested that I do. Father, I thank you for every person in this place today. I thank you, Lord, for our River of Life family that is not here today, and our extended family that goes out from each one of us. Lord, we release a servant's heart to each one of them. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are raising up an army of servants, Lord, that will demonstrate your love and your heart, your grace in this time. As Minister Sonia said, we are living in the last days. There is evil all around us, but you have called us, God, to be your light. So, Father, I just thank you that the light is charged today on the inside of each one of us. God, that the light of Jesus Christ is shining through us. Lord, as we go forward as your servants, Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your peace to be upon us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for those who have gone before us and prepared the way. Lord, I thank you for all the men and women, God, that have laid down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a charge to walk in their footsteps, Lord, to continue to be that light, to continue to release your love, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you. Let the word of God dwell in each one of us richly. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word dwells in us. Lord, that your word is alive in us. And Lord, that you have placed in us your heart, and you were a servant. You are a servant. What the Lord is saying, he is still sitting in the heavenlies serving us. He's sitting in the heavenlies praying for us. He's serving us with the gift of intercession. And the Lord's calling his church to intercede on behalf of others, to stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Thank you for the ministry of intercession, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for each man, woman, and child that are here today. I thank you, Lord, that you bring the best to River of Life. God, that you bring the best servants, Lord. Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you for the unity and the peace, God, that you have given to us and the love that we have one for another. Lord, let it continue to grow. Let it continue to spread. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered as we shout to the Lord. Hallelujah.